Lord, we thank you that you're a wonderful Father, that you're our Daddy in heaven. And we come before you now, we ask you to speak to us through your word. Thank you for the power of the truth that sets us free. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, now, and we ask you to speak to us and free us at greater and greater depths, Lord, from everything that holds us back, everything that shackles us and wraps itself around our feet. We pray that you'd release us and bring us the joy of being our little children again, free and innocent and delivered and able to serve the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us and that you're for us. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give a round of applause to Stuart Bryce.
Good evening. Okay, so our bodies belong to God, and as Martin said, you know that scripture about your recovery of sight for the blind. Physically was the calling card of the Messiah to open the eyes of the blind, but also to have our spiritual sight healed as well, so we can see, you know, what God has for us, to be able to see spiritually. You know, this, I thought it was important, I was thinking about this earlier on, this spiritual sight, to see who we are in God. Because if we just see ourselves and how the world sees us and how we see ourselves sometimes, we miss how God sees us, and God loves us all equally. And I just felt earlier on as well, you know, I felt to use this particular scripture from Proverbs about the word of God, and the word of God is to be trusted as good for us. The word of God is good for you. Did you know that? You knew it. Anybody else know that? Yeah, too. Okay, the word of God is good for you. Let me just read to you from Proverbs. From Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says this. Pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a person's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. I love that, because it says foot rather than feet, so it relates to me quite well. Hop it. Stop it. So that's nice, isn't it? The word of God brings health and healing to us, not condemnation. No, we know in Romans 8 where it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, who give me a wave if you're in Christ Jesus? We're all in. Hallelujah. We're in Christ Jesus, which means there's no condemnation for us. Sometimes, oftentimes, or as Tom Richards would say, oftentimes, we know we're in Christ, but we see our past. And we look back at our past and we feel bad about it. And we might be doing okay actually, but the fact that we're looking at what we used to be like brings us condemnation. And our focus shouldn't be there. Our focus should be on the word of God and the fact that there's no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, which is all of us. Now, there are warnings in the Bible. I'm sure you've seen them. Many warnings. The Apostle Paul says that the things that happened to the Israelite serve as warnings to us. In 1 Corinthians 10, you can read it. It says all sorts of things. But it says, these serve as warnings to us. Warnings. They don't serve as condemnation to us. They serve as warnings to us. You get that? Okay, because we're in Christ Jesus, so there is no condemnation for us. But the encouragement for us is that, you know, these things serve as warnings to us. Anyway, so let me just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. I'm going to need a torch soon, or a magnifying glass or something. Do you know the Greek verb, do you not know? I'm going to cover that in a minute. Anyway, let me just read for you from verse 12 in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. It says, everything is permissible for me. This is Paul quoting the Corinthians, okay, their idea that they could do what they liked. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for food. Okay, and what Paul's talking about here is the Corinthians was suggesting that they could do what they liked. They were very corrupt, perverse, sexually immoral people. The church in Corinth, they used to say to Corinthianize was to commit sexual immorality. It was that sort of common in the time. And this food for the stomach for food, was they were saying, well, if I can eat what I like, if I can do anything to my body in terms of food, and it not have an impact on my spirituality, because it's just to do with my body, then surely that's the same with the sexual immorality as well. Surely I can do what I like with my body sexually, and it's the same as food, it won't affect me spiritually. So obviously Paul's addressing that directly. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. And here's that Greek verb. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? That was a joke, by the way. Shall I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. You are united with the Lord. You are one with him in spirit. Okay, so you're one with Almighty God, which breaks. You can't be both, okay? So you come into a relationship with Jesus, you're breaking off all other relationships. Flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. So our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There used to be an advert on telly years ago. I'm sure you remember this guy used to stand at a bar, flex his muscles and say, my body is a temple. And people see themselves like that. We're very good at worshipping ourselves. Before I became a Christian, my favourite subject was me. I just loved, and probably for a little bit after I got saved, actually, but I got healed of that. Stop that. My favourite subject was me. There's nothing I like to talk about more than me. I was just so cool. I just thought I looked good and everything was great about me until I met Marion and she put my dress sense right. I remember coming downstairs once saying, where are we going tonight? And she went, nowhere, just like that. And I went shopping with her one time, put some really smart clothes in the change room and came out thinking Marion was going to go, wow. And she literally bent over double laughing, right? Literally in the shop, bent double. And then she thought I was just doing it for a laugh, but thought I looked good. But I didn't. I don't know why I told you that. Anyway, our bodies, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is an interesting place. The temple was a place of worship. And part of the worship was sacrificed. There was an altar in the temple, and things were sacrificed on the altar. So my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a place of worship. Well, what's going to be sacrificed? What's going to die on that altar? Or me, to die to myself and die to the things, my own ideas. Now, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. So we die to ourselves in response to that, to receive the full grace and glory and mercy of God. We are not our own. We were bought at a price, a high price. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. Therefore, honour God with your body. So we're going to talk about surrendering our bodies to God. And Jesus' suffering is the key to our healing. It's all a bit complicated. We're complicated, aren't we? Yeah, well, Ian is. Who else? Just Ian. I agree, yeah. Okay, we're complicated, and we're a mixture of all sorts of things, you know, mind, spirit, body, soul, and emotions, and our mental ideas, and it's all that we're a mixture. So When I had my leg amputated when I was 26, that was a physical thing that happened to my body. But that was not particularly complicated. It's all the other stuff with it that was complicated. Complicated in relationships. Andy was 1.5, so that had a big impact on Andy in our home, as that sort of trauma came into our home. Marion was pregnant with our second son, Mike, so there's trauma in that. I had my accident at 8:30 on the morning. The firm I worked for stopped my wages at 8:30. You think they'd have paid me the rest of the day, wouldn't you? I was stuck in that cab for 30 minutes. Technically, they owe me 30 minutes. There was a guy that died in the accident as a result of his injuries, and the firm were fined £200. The third biggest independent haulage company in Britain fined £200. They never said sorry to me or anything like that. It's complicated, isn't it? You know, growing up with two young sons and not being able to do the things you want to do. Can play football, Dad. That's going to be difficult, okay? That brings pain and emotional hurt, doesn't it? The doctor that told me one day that I had some problems with my leg, and he said, you know, you probably might not be able to wear a false leg ever, so you're probably going to be on crutches for the rest of your life or in a wheelchair. So that was a difficult day. Do you remember that? So it's complicated, isn't it? The physical, and there's a connection to us. When somebody hurts us or hurts us in some kind of way with the things people say or do to us, or it's not simple, is it? And we're all different. So somebody says something to me and it doesn't affect me very much. The same thing is said to somebody else and it crushes them. That's not weakness. It's just we're complicated and we're different. So let me just read that, just to sort of use that as a backdrop for reading this from Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm sure we've read it already on Route 61, but let me just run through it. So Isaiah 53, talking about Jesus. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. He wasn't Brad Pitt. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And it says also in the New Testament, only his suffering, he was tempted. Temptation was suffering. When Jesus was tempted, he suffered. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it goes on to say in verse 9, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. So he died a criminal's death, you know, a murderer's death on the cross. And he should have been taken down and buried, you know, a criminal, you know, should be dragged away by the Romans to a criminal's burial. But obviously we know that Joseph of Arimathea got permission to take the bodies down from the cross, and Jesus was given a tomb of a rich man. That's what it means. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. So even in his death, he's connecting with all sorts of people. Every part of him suffered so that every part of us can be healed. Like I said, it's all complicated, but we need to trust God for this absolute healing. We can be mentally healed. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says that he sweat drops of blood. This is, what's it called? Hematidrosis, apparently, is if under extreme pressure, you can sweat blood. The capillaries break and you sweat blood. The closest I've come across related to that is soldiers under extreme pressure get nosebleeds, a lot of them. Under extreme pressure, they just get nosebleeds. The pressure, the stress, can just cause your nose to start bleeding before someone punches you, before the bullets start flying. The thought of it, the stress, you can just start bleeding. this mental healing is powerful. I asked Stacey Gibbons if I could share it, and she couldn't make it tonight. She's got a friend visiting from London who's unsaved. But I asked her permission to share this. I knew Stacey before she got saved, and she was one scary woman. I mean, she shared the other day about how she was sexually abused as a child, and she shared how, you know, she'd forgiven that person. But, I mean, the mental impact on her was enormous. She was used to be our administrator at the university, and, you know, you'd be going through some, and, you know, I'd a relatively important position, and I'd say to somebody, oh, I need to sort this thing out. Who do I need to see? Oh, you need to go see Stacey. Really? Isn't there anyone else? No, you have to go see Stacey. Okay, so you'd go to her office like she was my boss, you know, and I'd walk in, she'd be at a computer typing, and I'd walk right up to a desk. She could see me, but she just ignored me, just on a computer, you know, and I'd have to stand there silently waiting for her to acknowledge my presence. She'd go, yes, and I'd go, are you busy? I can come back later. She went, thanks, and I'd have to run off, you know. And I used to hate going in there, you know, and then when Tom started going out with Stacey, I thought that would ease things, but it didn't. I was just terrified of her. And so to see Stacey totally change when Tom and Stacey became Christians, and she's one of these people, it hasn't been a sort of gradual trajectory for Stacey. She's one of these people where she's just shot up in the Lord in terms of peace in a heart, a mental healing, and then sort of hit a bit of a plateau, and then bang, up again, you know. I mean, shockingly different. You know, Jesus can heal us mentally no matter what has happened to us. You know, where there's no condemnation for us, we're totally forgiven, we can forgive other people and receive peace, mental peace. Is emotional healing. Jesus' heart was pierced. The Roman soldiers came and thrust a spear into Jesus' side, into the pericardium, I think it is, the sac around the heart, releasing a flow of blood and water. It's interesting, reading the other day, you know, early on in Luke, where Simeon brings a prophecy to Jesus when Joseph and Mary take Jesus for circumcision 8 days afterwards. Simeon gives this prophecy and then turns to Mary and says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And that, you know, I'm not certain exactly when that happened, but maybe when Mary was there, seeing Jesus on the cross, perhaps when that spear pierced Jesus' heart, perhaps that was the moment when Mary felt as if a sword pierced her own soul too. I was thinking of my dad. I shared this on Sunday night, actually. My dad, when he heard about my accident, he was working in New Zealand, and he said he woke up the next morning and was looking at his feet in the shower, and then thinking about me, sort of, you know, having one of my legs amputated, and he just started thinking of me as a little kid, and just started weeping. And, you know, when I used to, you know, win all the races at school, he was my greatest fan, so proud of me, and he thought of me as a little kid. And then the fact that I'd had my leg amputated, even though I was an adult, and he just wept, said he's broke his heart. And I remembered when my brother died, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and he only lived 6 weeks after the diagnosis, which was, you know, it was a surprise diagnosis. We weren't expecting it. And loads of people were visiting my brother and all the family, and it just got too stressful for him. So the family made the decision that the only people that would visit him would be his wife and his grown-up daughters and their husbands. There's three of them. And the rest of us would leave. So that's pretty tough for me and my sisters, my two sisters, but particularly for my mum and my dad. And when it was my turn to go into the room to say goodbye to Charles, I passed my dad as he walked out. And I remember the look on his face. Just destroyed, you know. He wasn't a Christian at that point. There's some emotional healing there, isn't there? And, you know, when he came to faith in Christ, that emotional healing process began. And I know there's people in here that have lost children. That's an emotional break that only God himself knows. Only God himself understands that, of how he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us. You know, it says in, you know, some scriptures that he laid his life down and he took it up again. But actually the Godhead was broken at that point, you know. When Jesus died, it was, you know, in one sense, he did raise himself from the dead because the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. But it was God the Father, by his Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead. And he was dead. And God understands that sacrifice. And that emotional healing can only come from God the Father. Our physical healing, I was going to get catching up, but Ian beat me to it. We never plan anything. I turned to mine and said, oh, there goes my third point. But you did it so well. And, you know, the flogging of Jesus, it was particularly brutal when they put, you know, lead and bone into the strap, you know, tied into the leather straps they beat them with. The idea was that when they flogged them, that it would stick. The bits of bone and metal and lead or whatever they use would stick to the person. It'd stick in. So it wasn't like, you know, you see some of these sort of, you know, sort of old pirate films where they, you know, hit somebody with the leather straps and it just comes off. No, this was it would hit and it would stick. It's a bit brutalist, but this is what happened. They would stick and then they'd pull it off and it would rip the skin off. Jesus understands our physical pain. And we can receive the physical healing, as Catherine did. We can reach for that. I mean, I too went to the doctors about my blood pressure. And he told me I was going to die. First time I was diagnosed with high blood pressure was probably about 9 years ago. I went to join a gym. I've obviously believed in that. So I went to join the gym and they said, oh, your blood pressure's way too high. You know, you're going to have to go and see your doctor immediately. And I was like, didn't feel too good about that. Another time I went when I had an infection in my thumb. They took my blood pressure, said, you're going to have a stroke or a heart attack any second. You know, sit there, we'll leave the door open in case something happens. Just filled me with faith. Went and got the doctor, went to see the doctor who was trying to be all cool. Hi, how you doing? Relax, sit down. I thought, no, your nurse has just told me I'm about to die. He took my blood pressure, said, oh, it's gone up a bit. We'll relax you for a bit. So I relaxed for a bit. He took it again. It was even higher. So in the end, I said, I won't tell you what it was because those of you in medical will probably pass out. I said, look, I've come for some antibiotics for my thumb. Just give me those, please. He said, you're going to have to come back tomorrow. I said, I'm flying to Estonia tomorrow. He said, you can't. I said, I'm flying to Estonia tomorrow. Give me the antibiotics. He said, when are you back? I said, next Monday. He said, you must come and see me next Monday. But I didn't bother and didn't go for years and years and years. I started getting really bad headaches, you know, like sort of 4 or 5 really bad migraines a week. And Ian prayed for me actually on, I think, the first Route 61 we did. He said, is there anyone here with a bad headache? And I thought, yeah, me. And he's like, and I put my hand up and I came and I went forward just to encourage him, really, you know. But then I panicked and thought, but what if I don't get healed? You know, when he says, tell me if you're really healed. Anyway, do you know what? It started to go. And I was healed of that for quite some time. Then I went to the opticians. And the optician said, oh, this was recently, and said, you know, you've got a couple of little hemorrhages in the back of your eye. We need to refer you to the, you know, to go and see a specialist and stuff. And, you know, we felt, Marion and I felt, that was off God. When I had all the blood tests and everything, they said, you know, your blood pressure's been really high. We're going to have to send you to make sure your heart's okay and your kidneys are okay and everything else. And totally fine. So this really high blood pressure, I mean, I had the blood pressure of a baby elephant. It should have done some damage, but didn't do any. You know, and I felt off God, and we felt off God peace to, you know, to take medication for that, which I'm doing now, you know. And but you look to God first, like Martin said, it's absolutely true. I don't panic. You know, you seek medical help if you need it, but you seek God first, or both. The spiritual healing ultimately is salvation. We were separated from God. When Jesus died on the cross and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's experiencing that separation. All right, mate. Everybody give him a wave. They'll be back in Jesus' mighty name. but not tonight. And, okay. So Jesus said, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's experiencing a separation from God. He's experiencing what we're born into, that separation from God. He did it the other way around. He's totally with God and then separated at that point. We're separated and then come to him through that same act on the cross. Martin Luther said, you know, God forsaken by God. Who can understand it? It's a mystery, isn't it? And Marion, will you just share a little bit about what happened to you when you had that breakdown and you sort of how got you saw God as far off? And...
Right, we're going back how many years now? 12 years. Actually, it was the 9th of September, 2001. It was it was 2 days before the Twin Towers, and I had a breakdown 2 days before, and I was out of it. I didn't even know that that happened, that the Twin Towers, till a couple of days after that. So I was absolutely a little ball of a mess, to be honest. Had this breakdown and couldn't eat and wouldn't speak to anyone and couldn't, had to stop work and really, really ill. But during that illness, I just had this peace of God. I just knew God was with me. It's really funny because although I was so ill, I felt so happy and peaceful. I don't know if that makes sense. Because it's almost like I got to the point of, right, this is where God wants me. You know, I feel really, really close to him. I felt as if he was like living in me, you know. And he just brought me that healing and that peace. Because like when I was a child, when I was, you know, I believed in God and I just thought that God was like a million miles away out there, you know. But just to know that he was so close and that was like the healing. But, you know, I'm not saying you have to go through stuff like that to be close to him, but that was what happened for me, yeah.
Thanks, Maz. Okay, so God can use any situation to come close. He wants to come close to you. Do you want him to come close to you tonight? Do you want him to come really close so that you feel his presence? And then finally, we can be healed sexually. You know, Jesus was crucified naked. We know that from the scriptures. We know that historically that people were crucified naked. You know, it says that they drew lots for Jesus' undergarments. So when we see, you know, films or paintings of Jesus wearing, you know, a loincloth, that's just to protect his dignity, I guess. But people were crucified naked. Jesus was crucified naked. Let me just read to you a little bit again from 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 11. It says this: do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Were. Oh, yes, that is what some of you were. Not are. Do you get that? Okay, so it's so easy for us, like I said at the beginning, to look into the past and think, oh, that was me, that was me, that was me. No, that is what some of you were. Past tense. Have you got that? If you don't get anything else, you've got to get this. Because you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for you. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life has set you free from the spirit of sin and death. They're not connected at all. They are separated. Whatever your past was, if you're in Christ Jesus and remain in Christ Jesus, that is the past. It means nothing. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He voted against people. When they were voting to put people to death, he was an influential person. And when he voted against people, he was saying that I voted against people. In other words, he's saying, I was so influential that when I voted against people, it probably swayed the crowd. He voted against people put to death. We know he was there when Stephen was martyred, but he must have been there when others were put to death. Or certainly voted against them and had people dragged off out of the houses. He was a sinful man. And yet he stood before his accusers and said, I stand before you today, innocent of the blood of all men. What are you talking about? He was there. When Stephen was put to death, he cast his vote against other people. But he understood this, that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's why he wrote it. He totally gets it. He's in Christ Jesus. And therefore, he really, really is innocent. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Innocent of the blood of all men. And some of them were probably looking at him thinking, we know what you did. We saw you do it. How could I mean, you get that, don't you, sometimes? Oh, I remember you. I know what you were like. Well, you're not the same person anymore. He was standing before his accusers who knew exactly what he's like, saying, you know, in the sight of God, I stand before you, innocent of the blood of all men. And you stand in Christ, or sit, as you are at the moment, in Christ, totally innocent of your past. Totally innocent of your past. It's important for us to break the ties that we have through sexual relationships, where it says the two become one flesh, and those things need repenting of. So sometimes people look into the past and think, well, I'm not like that anymore, and that's fine. But it's good to repent of those things, to see them as wrong in God's sight. The word of God can be trusted as good for you, and we can repent of those things and leave those things and break off those ties. I'm just going to finish with this before I hand over to Andy for the ministry. We've got two little cats. Well, two big fluffy cats, haven't we? And I love them all the time, most of the time. Unless they've got fleas, and then I don't like them. Fleas aren't nice, are they? And there's four fleas in the New Testament. I'm just going to tell you what they are now. The first one, Paul uses here, which I read out just now, to flee from sexual immorality. To flee from it. To get away from it. Do you like that with the four fleas? Do you like that? Okay. You think, what's this got to do with cats? No. To flee from sexual immorality. He also, Paul says in 1 Timothy, he talks about money and then says, flee from all this. So he talks about all the things about money and how money can corrupt and is the you know, the beginning of all sorts of evil. But then he says to flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness and faith, love, endurance and gentleness. So flee sexual immorality, flee the love of money. Then also he says in 2 Timothy to flee from the evil desires of youth. Is it to flee from, yeah, to eat, flee from the evil desires of youth. And then the best one is in James, where James says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. To resist the devil. Okay. Andy.
Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all just close our eyes for a moment and just connect with God. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and speak to each of our hearts? You know, Lord, where each and every single one of us is, where we're sat, where we are, what we struggle with, how we feel, what our relationship with you is like, where we do well, where we struggle, where we have everything, Lord, you know. And Lord, we just choose to just be real with you right now at this time. We give you all of our sin, Lord. All of our hidden shame and struggles. And we're often so fast to reveal to people and to you, Lord, our good side, but keep hidden in the darkness the negative things, the things that we don't like about ourselves, the struggles that we have. But right now, Lord, we just open up our heart to you, all the dark places as well, and we just say, Lord, this is me. This is the real me. Lord, would you come in and heal me in my being, in every part of my being. Come and bring your wholeness, Jesus, to my life, to my body now. Thank you, Lord, that our bodies are not our own. We surrender them to you, Holy Spirit, to you, Lord, to you, Jesus. We give you our bodies right now. In any way we've taken things into our own hands and did things in our own strength, in any way that we were selfish and with our body and abused it in any way, we're sorry, Lord, for hurting your temple where you dwell. We surrender different parts of our body, Father. We give you our eyes, anywhere we look that we shouldn't look, instead of looking to you. We give you our ears, where we listen to bad things, the wrong things, worldly advice, or whatever, instead of listening to your word and to you, Father. We give you our mouth, where we curse and speak negatively of each other and ourselves, instead of speaking the things that are good and uplifting and truthful and that bring life. We give you our hands. And Lord, we say we repent of in any negative way we've used our hands as instruments of wrath instead of instruments of love to bring peace and healing and comfort to others and ourselves, where we hurt ourselves, use our hands inappropriately. We repent of that, Lord. And our feet, the wrong places that we go spiritually and that take us away from you. Instead of using our feet for your glory and to take us to the right places, to follow your will and your plan. We give you our stomachs, Lord, and our appetites, where we're greedy and run to sometimes food as a false comfort instead of just running to your feet, Lord. And anywhere we've abused our bodies, Lord, anywhere at all, anywhere sexually we've sinned against you, God, we're sorry. We repent, Father. And just sort of keeping this place of being connected to God and receiving from him, doing business with him. Keep repenting of anything else you feel like you need to repent of. And just begin to receive that forgiveness and that love and that grace. That we don't deserve, but we just get it anyway. Because we have such a good Father. And what we're going to do in a couple of minutes, or now if you're ready, or in a few moments, is to, on your right hand side, my left hand side over here is a rope. And just as a sort of physical step of faith, is we're going to step across this rope into that sort of area over there, if you'd like to, as a sign to God. And in that, we'll be saying to God, you know, I give you my body. Everything that steps across that rope belongs to you. We'll just stick a little bit of soaking music on and And I just encourage you to do that, you know, when you feel ready, when you feel led. If you want to do that, if you want to surrender your body to God, every part of it, and to repent for the negative ways we've used it, and give him everything, and receive his grace, then I just encourage us to do that now. Thank you, Lord, that you give us life. Without you, Father, we have no body. You give us this body, Lord. It's yours. Without you, Lord, we would never have even been born. Everything we have belongs to you, Father. And we give what's rightfully yours back to you tonight. And as we step across this rope, Lord, in act of faith, we ask that we would experience your forgiveness, that we would experience your amazing love and your amazing grace for us, that we would encounter you, Lord. Thank you, Father.